Kia ora koutou. It's lovely to see you all. It's lovely to be here. I'm feeling quite tired today. It's been a big weekend, but it's lots of fun. I could have another holiday after just having a holiday. Sure, some of us can relate to that. I wonder how 2026 has started for you. Maybe you've had a holiday. Maybe you've worked through. Maybe you've had time with your family. Maybe that's been good. Maybe that's been stressful. Maybe you've had lots of time by yourself. Maybe you've had perfect weather and no rain. Maybe you've been rained out of a camping ground. I wonder how you're looking ahead. Are you looking ahead with energy and a feeling of excitement? Or are you tired and in need of another holiday? The reality is that the 1st of January is just another day ticking over on the calendar. But my social media for you pages immediately clicked into new year, new you posts. These are mostly about weight loss, getting a new body in just a few months, or participating in something called 75 Hard program, where you spend 75 days doing lots of exercise, healthy eating, and personal improvement. I wrote that here. It's like, I think sturgeon soft is probably quite a good option for our family. We will pootle through the new year. One of my work colleagues sent me a list of questions for reflection at the beginning of the year. It was really long, but they included some really helpful questions to take time to reflect on. Things like, what do you want to continue that you found helpful in 2025? Or what's something you want to let go of as you step into 2026? For the last 3 weeks at church, we've had the privilege of gathering in people's homes and sharing together a Lectio Divina passage, practice around the theme of rest. The one I was at used the Bible passage from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, which is so beautifully translated by Eugene Peterson in the message, as, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." We explored the words and phrases that we were drawn to and sat with them, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and invite us to deepen our connection with God. And then we shared them together, and it was so encouraging to hear the phrases people were drawn to and the invitations that they were sensing from God for themselves. So I'm wondering how you're coming to the service today. What are the messages you're thinking about? What is giving you hope? What's pulling you down or overwhelming you? I had the absolute privilege yesterday of taking the wedding service for Shreyas and Shanti. It was such a cool celebration of two spectacular young people taking a step forward together in their lives. It was a celebration of the families they grew up with and the ventures they had and the hopes that they were looking forward to. Shanti's grandma, Karen's mum, Beulah Wood, shared a reading and reflection from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus declares his mission statement to his community. Jesus had just spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, and comes back to town, the town he grew up in. He goes to the synagogue, as would have been the custom of the day. He does a reading, which again would have been a really normal for him to do, thing for him to do as a young male. But then he adds a sentence at the end that grabs everyone's attention. So I'm going to read it for us. It's from Luke 4, 14 to 21. "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I noticed that Jesus had just come out of the desert, and I read some of the gospel passages about that time of temptation. Matthew says that at the end of his account, in Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. After going through the experience in the desert, angels come and minister to Jesus. I imagine maybe they comfort and encourage him. Maybe they care for his physical needs with food and water. Maybe they hug him and hold him. Maybe they bring words of care and strength from God, his parent. But they attend to him and they give him the strength that he needs to step into that synagogue, to take Isaiah's scroll and to read. We're beginning a new series this year, and today's topic is a more Christ-like God. It's the beginning of the topic, because Sean sent me the topic and I was like, I haven't got time to do that in this week. So this is a tiny taster of it. It's based on the title of a book by Brad Jerzak, in which he explores how a trusting relationship with God can be strengthened through the lens of a re-envisioned Christ. And I think it's an important time for us to be reminded that we are followers of Christ. So these gospel words and stories are going to be essential reading and living and thinking and sitting with for us this year. In the midst of the explosion of Christian nationalism and all the conflict in our world, and people expressing a way of living the faith we share the name of in ways that we find disturbing, it's essential for us to come back to Jesus, the heart and the center of our faith, or as Paul says, the author and perfecter of our faith. We will have different ways of reading this text and seeing the ways we're invited to live it in our lives. For some, it might involve activism. For some, it might involve the quiet work of being alongside people and supporting them. For some, it might be thinking about the spaces and infrastructure and a work that needs to go on to support these things happening. For some, it's working about the ideas, thinking about the ideas and working in talking and having dialogue and conversation about what this might mean. But in our whole lives, we're invited into these spacious places to rest, to be held, to let God and God's love attend to us and care for us, and to live and move and work and act, all of who we are and what we do. We're invited to bring our whole selves to this year, the tired bits and the energized bits. We bring them to follow Christ, our Saviour and friend. Liz is going to share now and lead us in a wee group activity that maybe explores this a little more.
I thought it'd be really nice for us just to be able to get together in small groups and be able to just connect a little bit, find out what's been going on for people. So I'm wondering if we could get into seven groups. So I'm sort